today on Real Radio.
If you're going to get to heaven, trust me, friend, if you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be by one person only, and that is the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way. And I tell you, that's comforting. When I look around the world and see what's going on, I am comforted that this Savior has whispered into your heart, I trust, and in mine, and said, listen, follow me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the nation of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 42, we learned that God's man for the ages, well, that's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to the earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, who came to the world to bring us salvation. Isaiah shared this good news over 3,000 years ago and almost 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. So today, on day 1 of chapter 42 in Isaiah, Pastor Jack reminds us that Jesus is eternal. He's always existed. He is the God of all creation who came in human flesh to save both the Jews and the non-Jews alike. Jesus was just like all of us, but without sin, and he came to give us new life no matter how broken and bruised our lives have become. And now, in his lesson called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I don't want to get caught up in a calendar, but Lord, I do want to get this book done before the rapture takes place. It would be great, Father, but your will be done. But Lord, thank you for Isaiah 42. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a precious chapter it is. And Lord, so tonight teach us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to where you were last Wednesday night, Isaiah chapter 42. And we just began to crack open the chapter. We looked at just a few words into the chapter, a few verses, and somehow we ran out of time. Don't know how that happened. But if you remember, if you were here, I encouraged you to turn to Isaiah 42. And then last week, I asked you don't need to do it this week, but I asked those of you who are here to hold your finger there and to run on over to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and to look how your Bible gave the introduction to the book of Revelation. And it's all based upon, tragically, on the publishers, believe it or not. There's a title written in the front of the book of Revelation, and it says something like The Revelation or The Book of Revelation. And some of your Bibles had the book of Revelation chapter 1 before it even got to first verse, said The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And that actually is the title of the book of Revelation. You say, well, Jack, why are you talking about that now when we're in the book of Isaiah? Because Isaiah is the prophet that not only is known in theology as the evangelical prophet. Why? Because more of his prophecies are revealed in the New Testament than any other Old Testament prophet. Isaiah saw things and was given things by God that were truly remarkable and prophetic and powerful. So much so that Isaiah's prophecies are so accurate that many who do not choose to believe in the authority of God's word have tried to explain Isaiah's prophecies away. They tried to say, listen, this is their big defense. Isaiah is so exact that he couldn't have written it because it's too perfect. Somebody wrote it later after the events and then inserted it. That is a very, very ridiculous claim, because the Jews had the book of Isaiah before the claims or before the prophecies concerning Christ came in into fulfillment. The Jews had the book. That's how they were to know who Christ was. Imagine having your Bible, by the way, I hope you don't have to imagine too far because we should be doing this today. Imagine having your Bible and events going around you in life, and you could turn and say, wow, I identify what's going on in my country, in my community, in my world by what the Bible says right here. Oh, look, this one that opened the eyes of the blind, cleansed lepers, and rumored about scandalous that he was born not of a man, but of a woman who was a virgin, and that he was born in Bethlehem. And that God was upon him because he was, in fact, God in flesh. Where do you get that from? The book of Isaiah. And the Jews had that at the time of Christ. And so you and I today, we not only have Isaiah, we've got the prophets, we've got the Bible. And we are to be students of the Word of God even right now. In fact, I would say more than ever right now in the 21st century. We are to be students of the Word. So listen, we're looking at a message entitled God's Man for the Ages. And I told you last week, I mean that title, God's Man for the Ages. And Isaiah 42 introduces us to the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Messiahship, and who he really is. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, write that in your margins of Isaiah 42, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 is this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So God's the Savior, church, right? That's what the Bible says. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, one go-between, between God and men, and here it is, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's what's going on tonight, by the way. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is being fulfilled in this Bible study. Right here, right now. We proclaim Jesus Christ. The one mediator between God and man is Jesus. The Bible says so. And you might say, well, that's one verse in the Bible there. No, no, no. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all about this mediator, Jesus Christ. There's nobody else like him. I don't know if it's just me getting old or me getting stubborn or me getting, I hope, more spiritual. But as I get older, I just have a little bit more unction about that. I am getting sassy about the fact that Jesus is the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father but through me. And when I hear him talk like that, he's the undisputed Savior of the world. If you're going to get to heaven, trust me, friend, if you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be by one person only, and that is the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way. And I tell you, that's comforting. When I look around the world and see what's going on, I am comforted that this Savior has whispered into your heart, I trust, and in mine, and said, listen, follow me. Yes. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 42, and that's a great privilege, and it's an honor to look into these great promises of God's Word, and we see that the Scripture has been given to us to reveal this awesome person, personality, this transcendent God that has manifested himself in human form. That shouldn't shock you. Judaism says no way to that. Islam says no way to that. The cults say no way. And yet that's what the Bible says. If I were to ask you tonight, whatever your other than Christianity faith worldview is, if I asked you the God or gods that you believe in, and I said or asked, can your God do anything? I mean, I know that a Jew who does not believe in Christ as Messiah, I know that a Jew tonight practicing Judaism would say, my God can do anything. If you're a Muslim here tonight, you would say, Allah can do anything. But then if I would to ask you, can God become a man and live among us? Both those faith groups would say, no way would he do that. Then don't tell me your God can do anything. Right? Can your God walk with you as he did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? The God of the Bible can. And how awesome is it that this God who saves is the God who comes by the Holy Spirit, he says, to dwell within every one of his children. So we pick it up where we left off last time, God's man for the ages, right there in verse 1, and we're writing down these points now tonight. The fact that he is the God of our salvation. This is the God, the Savior of Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. God is speaking about his son. We'll see this. I have put my spirit upon him. By the way, right there is the Trinity. Did you catch it? The Holy Spirit is mentioned here. God the Father is speaking, and he's speaking about my elect one who is the Savior. Remarkable. He will bring forth, that is usher in righteousness. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He's going to bring justice to the Gentiles, which also carries with it salvation to the Gentiles. He's not only going to judge the world of the Gentiles, he's going to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And we looked at that in depth last time together. But remember, Isaiah chapter 11 said this about our great God and Savior. Verse 10, Isaiah 11 verse 10 says, "And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." God is going to save not only Jew, but Gentile. All those who will turn to him and call out to him, God will save. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to ask you again, write all these references down in your margins of your Bible in Isaiah chapter 42. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, listen to this. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his," what's the word? "Son." Oh God, just speak to me. Show me, just Lord, just give me a new revelation. Give me a new revelation. That's not gonna happen. God says in his word, "I have already revealed everything that I'm going to reveal, and my final word to you was what my son said." And when you read through the Bible, you get all the way to the book of Revelation and you read the last statements of Jesus. God has spoken in his word, and he has spoken that the Messiah is our Savior. John chapter 1, who is this? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then 14. Watch this. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Notice, it's personalized. The Word here is a person. "And the Word was with God," and the Word, what? "Was God. He was in the beginning," that is with the physical universe, not in the beginning of eternity. Eternity has no beginning. When the physical universe came into beginning, he was with God. All things, verse 3, were made through him. Wow. "And without him, nothing was made that was made." Now, pause right there. Leave it on the screens. This is referring to the Word. The Word that was with God and the Word that was God. Listen, this is your Redeemer. Nothing physical or invisible that is of the physical universe, both visible or invisible, nothing's been made but without Jesus. Do you know this Jesus? Is this the Jesus? Listen, my dear friend, if you're a Jehovah Witness, you don't know this Jesus. I know your doctrine. You do not have this Jesus. Listen, my dear friend and sweet person, Mormon, this is not the Jesus you know. In Mormonism, this is not the Jesus. I wonder if you're aware of that. It's a completely different Jesus. The Bible Jesus, according to the Bible, is the creator, and there's nothing that's been created that was created without him. Do you understand that theology, church? It's basic Christianity. How great is this awesome God of our salvation? How wonderful is he? Let's keep reading. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the word," verse 14, look, drop down in your Bibles, verse 14, "and the word became flesh and dwelt among us," says an eyewitness to the event, John. The word of God personified came into this world, we saw him. 1 John tells us that we handled him, we touched him, we saw him. Can you imagine? What did Jesus' voice sound like? Wouldn't you like to have known that? How did he walk? What was this? You know, how? How did he carry himself? What was his eye color? When things were going on, when something was funny, when a donkey slipped in the mud and the baskets of falafel fell out of the, did he laugh at that? I think he laughed. Listen, the Bible says he was just like us, yet without sin. Can you imagine laughing perfectly? Can you imagine loving perfectly? Isn't it amazing to think? Can you imagine, according to, if my memory serves me right, it might be around Matthew 13, verses 55-ish, where it says that Jesus and his stepbrothers and sisters grew up. Can you imagine him being your older brother and you're growing up in the house with him? Well, what was that like? Did he change his own diapers? No, of course not. He didn't, but I'm just saying. They watched him. He became like us to be our Savior. I hope this somehow, it meant a lot to me. I don't know if it means anything to you, but for God to become our Savior, he could have sent a text. He could have sent an email. You know what? He could have sent an angel, I guess. I don't know. That's theology beyond me. No. Apparently, according to the plan of God, he couldn't have sent an angel. He couldn't even have sent a really good person. He had to come himself, which speaks a lot to me. Number one, it speaks about how incredibly lost and wretched humanity is, that God had to come and do this himself. He didn't tap someone to take that job of saving you and I and washing away our sins. He did it himself. He became like us. And the resurrected Savior tonight is a glorified man at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, for all time and eternity, Jesus was with the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. One God, triune personalities, one. 2,000 years ago, he left that post, that place, that glory. And it wasn't for 33 and a quarter years. But for you and I to be saved tonight and to experience salvation and to have a true Savior, it was necessary for us to have a representative in heaven forever. That's what the Bible says. So when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't the end of his humanity. Did you know that? When he rose 3 days later from the dead, he rose a glorified man, the God-man. He was the forerunner for you and I. Never to die again, Christ rose from the dead. Look, Lazarus, God bless him, but poor Lazarus got raised from the dead only to die again some other day. What a bummer, he had to die twice. Jesus died once, rose again from the dead. Good news for you tonight who trust Christ. You die once, you won't have, listen, if I drop dead tonight, don't pray and ask God, oh Lord, we love him. You love me, do you love me, right? I mean, you do love me, I hope you love me. I need your prayers. Oh, Lord, raise Jack from the dead. You know, don't pray that prayer. You can pray for Lisa, my grandkids, my kids, but don't ask God to bring me back. I'd have to die again someday. Listen, just let me go. And apparently from the Bible, we know that those like Paul who've seen the world beyond, they don't want to come back. You know, these books about people who died and they came back and they wrote a book. I'm sorry. You ask me all the time, did you read that book? Did you read this book? Did you read that book about life? I don't want to read that book. I've read this book. That's all I need to read. And well, yeah, but this guy says, and it's funny because this guy died and he saw this, but then that guy over there, he died and he saw something different. What does it tell you about who dies what? I don't want to hear that. I want to get it straight from the one who died and rose again, never to die again. Jesus. That's it. Very important. So listen, he became like us. And I was watching this documentary on panda bears in China. And they have these problems. They got and out in the woods, they're loose pandas. And the panda researchers, it was amazing. I was captivated. Because the first picture I saw, I wasn't even paying attention. And then I wound up rewinding the thing and watching it from the beginning. Because this car pulls up in the middle of the woods in China. These two guys get out, they open up the trunk, and they literally put on panda suits. They're zipping each other up. They got panda heads, and they're walking along like this. And then they get near the area, and then they start crawling on their hands and knees like a panda. And they start moving like a panda, and they look just like a panda. They had studied their researchers on pandas. And they did that, and they got all the way in up with pandas because they had to watch them and research about why they were having certain problems in nature. And this is too much information, but for them to even get close to the real pandas, they had to use, number one, they used deceased pandas' skin. They were wearing dead panda. Panda tops, panda pants, dead panda. And then they had to have, because I guess pandas are bad aims, but they have to put panda urine on themselves to smell like the other pandas so they can get close to a panda. Now, would you wear a dead animal suit? Of course not. Would you rub panda urine on your dead animal suit? Like it's not stinking enough. Of course not. Unless you love pandas. You got to be nuts about pandas. I don't care about pandas. I am not going to put the suit on, and I am not going to bathe myself in that stuff. We laugh at that, and we go, "Ooh, that's so gross." I wonder if God looked down from heaven and said, "Really? I'm going to put some of their skin on and come into the world like them?" The Messiah, Savior of the world, puts our skin on, comes into this wilderness. And what does he do? He gets up near us, doesn't he? In the likeness of a man. Because if an angel would have done it, we would have went goo-goo crazy over angels. We would all have angel necklaces, angel crystals hanging from our bedrooms. No, he came, the Bible says, just like us, to relate to us, to speak to us, to love on us. Absolutely awesome, absolutely amazing. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. This is unique. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is a big deal. God came. He's the God of our salvation. He came. And Isaiah is announcing to us, he's the elect one. He's the one that is going to be the salvation of the Gentiles. How awesome and glorious is that?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Man for the Ages, Part 2. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank God for his patience. But why would you wait to act upon his free gift of salvation when you can come to Jesus right now? God's Man for the Ages, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special CD offer for you today. It's a two-part message by Pastor Jack called Where is God When It Hurts? So many of us are suffering some kind of pain in our lives these days. The Apostle Paul endured great suffering, but instead of giving up, he encourages us to keep hoping in God who will comfort us so that we too can comfort others. Pastor Jack also reminds us that even though suffering does hurt, it's a way that we can know God in a much deeper way and in turn experience his compassion and loving kindness. God is truly the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. So again, our featured product for today is a two-part message CD set by Pastor Jack, and it's called Where is God When It Hurts? It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.